We are back now, and I want to pick it up right where we left off, talking about toxic stress. And, like I said before the break, we have another speaker that's coming up later in the series who's going to talk about different types of grief and stress that it causes and things of that nature. And one of the things that I know we touched on when I was chatting with her was the other issue of oxidative stress that's in there. You said, we have so much that's coming at us from relationships, family, social media, church, phone calls, homework, bills, whatever it is, that if we're not mindful of our mental health and we're just firing on all cylinders like an engine of a racer, we're causing kind of stress and inside of our bodies and our heart is racing and our mind is racing and we have to take control of that, right?
We do, absolutely. And that's where the mindfulness comes into play and being aware. So, the minute you can become aware of something, you can change it. And that's part of becoming aware and mindful. So, say for instance, this little lady here on the bottom of your screen hurt her big toe. She's crying, she's screaming, and it looks like she's going to take it, she's going to deal with it, right? She's going to make a change. She's probably going to put a Band-Aid on it, maybe some ice, and she's going to take care of herself. And the gentleman or the lady in the middle image here, there's two different pathways. So every morning when we wake up, we have two different choices. We could roll back into bed, hit the snooze alarm, be late for work, forget the gas, all of that. Or we can say the night before, okay, my car is on empty. I'm thinking with the end in mind. I'm going to fill my gas tank up tonight. So in the morning, if I'm rushed or stressed or, running out of time, I don't have to get into my car and be like, oh man, my tank is on empty, right? And how many times is our tank really on empty? And we need to be mindful about how we're spending that time. And so let's take a little bit deeper look at our dopamine and our serotonin in our brain. So the dopamine in the brain is that instant gratification. It's short-term pleasure. It's that sugar rush. It's the Oh, the pizza leaves you wanting more. It inspires you to take, 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 right? And that's a lot of what social media does for people. It's that instant gratification. How many likes did I get? How many shares did I get? Who's responding? What are they saying? And there's those pleasure moments, right? Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, pleasure moments. And then there's the serotonin side where you have to go to college. And you have to go to class and get your grades. And in time, you graduate. It's that delayed gratification for a job well done, for hard work. It's that sense of achievement. I did it. In high school, I was told I wasn't smart enough to go to college. And here I am like, wow, I did it. Even though someone told me that I couldn't do it. And someone shared with me about a year ago that one of our daughters who has significant mental health and special needs, that she would never be able to read and that she would never be able to write. And just last week, she's in second grade right now, her daughter, and just last week I found out that she's reading at a third grade level. And she has her vocab, her like word recognition is at a fifth grade level.
Oh, my word.
So just because some professional told me that she would never be able to do or strive or learn, and here she is now doing this. So don't let outside influences of people tell you, who you are or what you are or who your children will or will not be. So serotonin also, requires effort. It requires hard work. It inspires giving, and it's where you are truly content with yourself. And so much of our society is on the dopamine side of life and not on the serotonin side. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about serotonin side of life. And I recently went through a training, a 12-hour training with the Karen Previous Institute for trust-based relationships and working with special needs children. And for the past 8 years, I have been asking therapists and doctors and therapists and doctors and psychotherapists and you name it, why do our daughters' eyes constantly dilate? Why are we having all these behaviors? Why is she, two of them right now, why are they like manic and dissociative and all of this stuff? And in this 12-hour training, all my questions were answered.
Wow.
And one of the questions was behaviors and dissociative behaviors. And it comes back to the glutamate in the brain. And so I always want to talk about that and share that with everybody that I can, because if you are working with children or youth or even us adults, that it is important, especially for trauma kiddos, if you're working with trauma kiddos, that they eat or drink every 2 hours. Now I listen to this training. I'm like, okay, well, whatever it takes, I'm going to see if this works, right?
Okay.
And so I went ahead the next day, because it was in the afternoon, evening when I finished the training. So every 2 hours, they got up, they had breakfast, and 2 hours we were eating, drinking. It could be water, it could be milk, it could be a juice, it could be whatever it is, right? But I always give the kids a couple different choices of a beverage and a couple different choices of a snack, and they get to help pick it out within that day. The behavior stopped.
Really?
The tantrum stopped. The dissociative behavior stopped, and the only thing I changed was a snack in the morning and a snack in the afternoon. And but it has to be like a food and a liquid. So I always share that because glutamate is produced by the human body. It's vital for metabolism and for brain function. So drink your water, ladies. Here's my water. I have this handy dandy little reminder here. It flashes when I don't drink like I'm supposed to, but drink your water. And try to have a little snack every once in a while, just to kind of keep your body in sync and regulated.
Wow.
That's, you know that about glutamate? I had no idea.
That, you know, and I've always been aware for your metabolism, you should eat or drink something every 2 to 3 hours, which technically you should have 6 meals or so per day, not the 3 that people think, the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but something in between. And this is why.
Right.
This is amazing. This is
right. And I did bring it. I did bring it up to the psychiatrist last week, and she's like, "Oh, yeah, I guess I never thought I should share that more often." And I'm like, "Please do share with everybody, you know."
Right, right.
Please
so that,
do.
That well, that's interesting. So, you know, I was thinking back to what your slide in your conversation about your teacher saying you would never be smart enough for school, for college, and the power that those words could have had over you. If you had let them,
right?
You know, we all know that words are powerful, good, bad, or indifferent. Words are powerful. And if you allow someone's thought of you to rule, and when you feed that back to yourself on auto record, or autoplay, that's not a good thing.
No. And honestly, I'm going to be very raw with you right now and say, I think that's why I'm struggling with this last final paper of mine. So I've been working on it for a year now, and they say a dissertation takes about 3 years to complete. So the class is 3 years and the paper takes on average 3 years, and I really want to get it done. But I have this fear. I have this fear of making a mistake. I have this fear of not putting in, because it's very technical writing, and I have a fear of not citing this right. And so I think that's why I've been struggling to kind of just get going. I have boxes upon boxes, bins upon bins of research, and I have everything lined up and ready to go. It's just not being scared to move forward. And I think we all have some level of fear.
Oh, yes.
and some level of hesitation. And, mm-hmm. you know, at the end, this is the end of my degree. Like there's, I could go back for another doctorate. I could go back for another master's degree. Right. I really don't want to spend any more money than I have to.
Right.
But here I am. I mean, someone, you know, said you weren't smart enough to go into college, but here I am.
Mm-hmm. Many years of college under your belt. And you know, it's interesting because not only do people tend to have a fear of failure, but the opposite of that is fears of success.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if that's underlying for you or if it is truly just the fear of not doing a good enough job, which you and I know is not true because I've seen you speak, I've heard you speak, and I know you. What you lovingly call the dissertation Bertha, because it's like you're birthing a baby, right?
Right, right.
And you know that God says you are enough and that you are good and you will get through this dissertation with his help and the Holy Spirit in you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And, you know, that just leads us back to making sure that, you know, we've got everything in line here. And this next image kind of shows you how everything works together. Mm-hmm. And that the glutamate is very involved in your learning and memory. And if that's deficient, it's really hard for you to regulate the rest of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, really to take that time, and I have been so guilty of this for years of not drinking the water
mm-hmm.
that I should. And I'm really trying hard to drink the water now. And to get healthier. And in February at the last conference, I met someone at the conference that I started working with. Mm-hmm. And she really kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things in the world of Tracy that I hadn't been doing for me. For the last 3 years, we've pretty much been in a toxic crisis mode within our family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now with because we have 5 adopted special needs kiddos, and it's a lot, you know, it's mm-hmm, a lot right. to deal with every day, but it's important to find what works for you and your family. And a snack every 2 years, I mean, a snack every 2 days has totally like changed, or 2 hours has totally changed our life. And if that can help someone else, that's fantastic. Because when you think about it, you know, most mental health is not a structural function. It's a functional issue of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it can start in utero. It could be, you know, the first couple of years of a child's life. And right. that's what happened to all of our kiddos. They had parents that were drugs and addicted. They had parents with neurological issues of their own. And then when kiddos are in foster care, they're shuffled from home to home to home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for them to settle their brain because their brain is stunted from growing. And when we can really slow down and take care of our mental health and realize the stress that we have all had in our life, and many mm-hmm. people are having a lot of stress with their own life right now with COVID
right.
and not being able to get out and socialize and be active members of their church and community like they have been. And honestly, that side of life hasn't changed for me because I really have been homebound mm-hmm. with our kiddos for the past 3 years.
Okay.
And they struggle to function in society. They struggle with friendships. They struggle to remain, quote unquote, whatever normal is.
Okay.
But they have social anxieties. And so for them to be out in the public, COVID hasn't changed our life. But it's brought us
How old are your children?
The kiddos are 7, 8, 10, 12 and 14.
Okay. And were you able to get, because you were talking about as children, young children, and we know the formative years and things of that nature and how children are very much influenced when they're toddlers up to what, kindergarten, first grade-ish, right?
Right.
Like that's their foundation.
Right. And so, like, are
you able to get any of your children before that to help with that? Or how long have you had your kids?
So for our one that's 8, she came to us 5 years ago when she was 3.
Mm-hmm.
And all the damage had already been done.
Wow.
So by age 3, she had been so terribly abused and neglected that it had done permanent damage to her brain. Hmm. And so we are working on reprogramming her brain to help her learn and to help her grow. And it's working. And it's interesting because she was tested last February, right before COVID happened. And the teacher just retested her last week, and the teacher couldn't believe how much progress she has made since March, since she's been home with me full time. But I think that just goes to prove that when you are safe and when you feel secure and you just have constant love and support, how much your brain can heal and how much you can personally grow.
That speaks right to the bottom of your slide here, that mental health equals toxic stress, and a toxic environment can change your brain structure. And you know that for every action, there's a reaction, and there's an opposite of everything. So if that's the case, when you get into a loving environment, a structured environment, a peaceful environment, that can restructure, rewire, and shift your brain right along.
Right, absolutely. And so when you begin to control your thoughts and think about where your thoughts are coming from, and you know where they can take you. So are you going to allow your thoughts to take you there?
Right.
Or are you going to say, okay, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yep.
You got this.
Mm-hmm.
Because your thoughts become feelings.
Yep.
And those feelings is then when Satan enters in and starts to introduce doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important, because all we all really want to do is love like Jesus loved, right?
Right.
And just share what he has to just love unconditionally with grace and compassion. And so many people have said to me, I don't know how you do this. I don't know how this, and you've got so much going on. But at the end of the day, it's grace and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to show more grace.
We do. We do. And that speaks to our conference we have coming up again in February, which this year, because of COVID, will be February 26th and 27th. And we're talking about Freedom Harvest, exploring the fruits of the spirit. And all of those things are there: love, kindness, gentleness, peace. And the very highest commandment that Jesus gave his disciples before he went to the cross was love one another, correct?
Correct.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. We all want to love the way that Jesus loved, and we want to be loved that same way as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so when we are at our smartphones, on our computer, and we're scrolling, you know, what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you looking to fit in? Are you looking who's on vacation where? Are you having jealous moments? Mm-hmm. Is it pleasure? What part of your brain are you sparking off there? Are you trying to keep up with appearances? Are you just, I do it to stay in touch, because so many of my friends and family members are back in Minnesota where I grew up and worked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a transplant from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so I look for connection and keeping up with friends and family, but there's an action item here. You know, how much time do you spend just scrolling? Are you disconnected from your family and children? Are you giving them lip service, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Or are you truly paying attention to what they have to say? Mm-hmm. Are you addicted to social media, right?
That's it right there. How many are truly addicted and don't realize it?
And when you start to find yourself beginning to judge someone from their post or their images, you know, think about your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is when you start to create space in your mind for you to become sick, to become judgmental, and to even question your own worth.
Hmm.
Like, I don't have this. I don't have a boat. I don't have a cabin to go, you know, snowmobiling in. And so then all of a sudden you start to compare yourself to the Joneses, I say.
Right.
And then you become a victim of your own thoughts, your own words, your own judgments. And then you create negativity and self-doubt, and the devil is in your mind.
You know, this is a really interesting concept, and we're going to continue this on the other side, but I want to leave it before the break with this. This is a different form of what people are speaking to you about you. It's subliminal. Once again, it's in pictures, it's in visuals that, like you say, oh, I can't go to a cabin, or I can't afford a vacation here and there. Oh, I wasn't able to buy a new car. But we also don't know the backstory to them. How much debt are they in? What are they doing these things to cover up in their own unhealthy, unhappy states? Are they purchasing these things and going on these vacations and extending their debt to a degree where they can't afford it either, but just to look good, right?
Right, absolutely.
Amazing. Hang on to this thought. We're going to come right back on the other side after a word from our sponsors.